Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy, for you are so very good. And your mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Lord, you are so very good, and your mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your holy written word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. That we thank you for revelation of this time, for this day, and this season that we live in. And Father, we thank you that your plans and your purposes are taking place and coming to pass, and that nothing could hinder it and nothing could stop it from coming to pass. And Father, we give you the glory for it in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. It's good to see all of you out this morning, brave as you are, on a Friday morning.
Hallelujah.
Who comes to church on Friday morning? God is good, and his mercy endures forever, and he's with us. We thank God that he's with us. I've enjoyed being here with you, and I thank God for what he's doing in the earth today. Because he's on our side. Turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I woke up with some things in my spirit as I was praying this morning, and so we're just going to go with the flow. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God, thank God, thank God. Luke chapter 7, verse number something another. It's coming to us, you know. What Luke chapter 7, we'll just start reading, I guess, in verse number 18. It says, and the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? He said, are you the one that was to come, or do we look for another? Do we look for another? Do we look for another way? Do we look for another plan? Do we look for another method? No, we don't. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Thank God for the word of God. Those words was rolling around in my spirit, looking for another. One of the problems we have, Pastor Harris was relating some messages. He has been speaking about handing off the baton to the next generation, I think. I don't know exactly what he titled them, but he's been preaching that. Well, little did he know that the Lord was already dealing with me about some of those things while he was sitting there talking in the office, but it's the same Holy Ghost, you know.
Yes.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
But one of the problems that we have in the body of Christ, everybody is looking for another something when it's the same thing that's going to change our life. We're looking for another way, another method. We're trying to identify with culture. We're trying to change the gospel to fit society and culture, but we need the same gospel. We don't need another Jesus. We don't need another message. It's the same message. The message is not changed. The gospel has not changed, and it remains the same in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we'll follow what Jesus has said, then it'll happen much quicker. As long as we cooperate with God, then it'll happen much quicker in our lives. But in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Notice that, another gospel, another Jesus. Another gospel, another Jesus. When people don't like what Jesus has already stated, they start trying to make up their own Jesus. The world is looking for another Jesus. They don't want to embrace the Jesus of the Bible. The people, a lot of people, are looking for another gospel, and they don't want to embrace the gospel that Jesus has given us. Again, verse 6 of Galatians 1, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7, Paul said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There is no other gospel than the gospel that's already been preached. There's no other Bible. There's no other Jesus. And that was John the Baptist. Are you the one? Are you the true one? And of course, Jesus, you know, sent back response, and we're not getting into all that. But they was all in that day, are you the real one? Is this the real truth here? Well, in here, Paul is talking about that the gospel had actually been perverted.
Right.
The gospel of Christ.
Right.
When people don't like the gospel and doesn't like what the Bible says and doesn't like what Jesus said, they want to come up with their own Jesus.
Amen.
Do you know that there's a lot of different Jesuses in our society today? What I mean is concepts of who Christ is and what he believes. A lot of people has adapted the Jesus of love, and all he does is love everybody. Now, there's a truth there, and we know he is love. God is love, but the false gospel, the perverted gospel is that Jesus loves you even in your sin, and you can live like the devil, act like the devil, smell like the devil, talk like the devil, and still go to heaven. Listen, if you look like the devil, smell like the devil, act like the devil, walk like the devil, you is the devil. Then that's the truth about it. You are the devil. But see, the perverted part of that gospel is God loves everybody. And from that gospel, that God loves everybody, every denomination, every people group, and he does love everybody. So there is a truth to that. But he does not love the sin that everybody commits. He does not. And sin is not going to be in heaven. Just read your Bible. It's not going to be in heaven. Don't get me excited. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. You threatened me now. I'm telling you, you threatened me about this. So here you go. Galatians chapter 5. We got to hear this in this generation. Why? The reason we tell the truth, again, is not to attack, but it's to protect. If we don't know the truth, we could actually be deceived and go to hell. If somebody doesn't tell us the truth, there's not another gospel. There's not another Jesus. You know what I mean? And of course, the other side of the spectrum of another Jesus being just Jesus loves everybody, even their sin, and everybody's going to heaven regardless if you worship cat, dog, cow, tree, rock, moon, stars, and everybody's going to heaven. You know what I mean? That's just absolutely another Jesus and another perverted gospel of Christ. There's a little truth in there, but most of it's poison and it will kill you. The other side of that, you know, because there's another extreme, is that God is sitting up there and he's mad at everybody. He's going to kill us all and all of us are going to hell. You know what I mean? So the happy medium is in the middle. God loves us, but he's not going to put up with our foolishness, and he expects us to grow out of our babyhood state of Christianity and in maturity and grow up to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't make me come back there. I'm just telling you that's what he wants us to do. There's not another gospel. If you want another Jesus and you want another gospel, then you're looking at the wrong place, because there's not going to be another Jesus and there's not going to be another gospel. This is what the Bible says. And so you're ready for this, undoubtedly. The Apostle Paul said in his word, verse number 13, the Holy Ghost said, through the Apostle Paul, in the Word of God, verse number 13 of Galatians 5, says, for brethren, and we'll throw the sisterins in too. When he's talking to the brethren, he's talking about a people group that have accepted Jesus Christ and become born again. He's not talking about those that don't know God. Brethren, you understand? He's talking about those that what we would call be members of the body of Christ. Not just members of a church. You can be members of a church and be on the church roll, and you can still go to hell. In fact, Dad Hagin's used to be in his altar calls. He would say that. He said, you could be a good church member. And he said, but if you've not accepted Jesus Christ, it's not going to take you to heaven, even though we need to be good church members. Said, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. And people want to be liberal today, even in the church world. In fact, many have adapted something I call progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity is when we try to live as close to the world as we can and still go to heaven. That's progressive Christianity. You know, we're going to dabble a little bit in this and we're going to dabble a little bit in that, but we're going to run back over here. You know what I mean? And we want to operate on both sides of the fence, so to speak. We want to live for God a while. Then we want to jump on the other side of the fence and live for the devil a while. Then jump back over here and live for God a while. Then jump on the other side of the fence and live for the devil a while. He said, use not your liberty. Isn't that what he said? For an occasion to what? The flesh. What we're supposed to be doing as Christian is crucifying the flesh. That's our goal in our life. How many of us are working on it? I'm still working on it. You know what I mean? I'm working on it. We're growing in it. We're developing in it. Thank God that Pastor Harris believes in progressive Christianity. Progressive sanctification. He believes in progressive sanctification. He knew what I was going to say. Progressive sanctification. Why? Because if not, all of us would already be dead. He'd been condemned to Saul and killed us. See what I mean? Because progressive sanctification means that when you get born again, that your spirit's immediately right with God, and then you have a desire from within to work everything on the outside to line up on the inside. Remember we sang that song, something on the inside, working on the outside. Something on the inside, working on the outside. But you've got to participate with what's working on the inside to get it outside and live out the reality of the gospel in your life. He said, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And he's going to talk about what the flesh is here in a moment, and it's going to get rough. I mean, he might skin us up a little bit, but just hang on. Don't pass out. It says, but by love, serve one another. He's talking about serving, becoming a disciple, a disciplined follower of Christ. He said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we understand here the progressive Christianity attitude today is, there is no moral laws and guidelines, and that's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. Right. Paul believed in moral law, disciplines that we should adapt our lives to, and laws that we should walk in based on the Word of God. He said, all the law is fulfilled in one word. So he's talking about what? The law. How do you fulfill the law? He said, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you go through the law, you know, the commandments, we would call them, of the Old Testament, when you are fulfilling the law of love and you're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you're loving your neighbor as yourself, you're fulfilling the law. Right. So there is still a law. But the world today don't like the Jesus that has a law. Right. The world today does not like the Jesus that has the gospel that has a law, that has rules and regulations and guidelines and instructions that we should follow. The world wants another gospel. They want another Jesus so they can be lawless and free to do anything they want to do and still go to heaven. That's a bunch of junk, bunk, and hogwash. I do that in honor of Dad Hagin, because that's what he would say if he was here. So he's not here, so I'll stand in by proxy for him. That's a good old Pentecostal term, and say it. He would say it's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. So all of those things that come up with this perverted gospel that's not true, this lawless gospel, that there's no guidelines, there's no directives, there's no instructions for the Christian life. Just do anything you want to, act any way you want to, treat anybody any way you want to, and it's still all right. That's a perverted gospel. That's another gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel of the written word of God. Right. And it's backed up by demon spirits. Right. That is from seducing spirits which create doctrines of devils. Right. Seducing spirits creates doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits create doctrines of devils. I said seducing spirits creates doctrines of devils. Just like the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, creates doctrines of the Bible, the word of God. But the seducing spirit creates doctrines of devils. So the way that we come up with a doctrine of a devil and that perversion that I'm just talking about, perversion of the gospel, is by listening to and yielding to seducing spirits. Because seducing spirits can seduce you into making you think that something is right when it's wrong. That's what a seducing spirit does. A seducing spirit makes you think you're right when you're wrong. So we don't want to follow no seducing spirit. And so there, the gospel does have laws. It does have instructions. It does have guidelines. Can I turn to another verse, but we can come back here?
Yeah.
We might not get back here. But anyway, we'll give it a shot. Colossians chapter 3. Because I can see some of you hanging on to the horns of the altar. Where's it at in the Bible? Give me some verses. And it might not have been you. It might have been I'm hearing into the future. And people are listening to this recording. And they're saying, well, where's that at in the Bible? I've been redeemed from all that. I don't have to do all that. Well, let's just see what the Holy Ghost said to the Apostle Paul. And this is written to Christians. We're not talking to the world now. I'm not sent to the world at this moment. I'm sending you to the world. You know what I mean? But we got to tell the world the truth. You cannot teach them a perverted gospel. You can't give them another gospel, because if you do, they're going to hell. And we can't pervert the gospel of Christ that's already been given and already been handed down to us in this generation. We can't do it. And we can't pass nothing off to the next generation if they want to pervert what we have. Don't make me come back there. I'm telling you.
Amen.
You just stay in the saddle. I was recently talking to an individual. And he said that somebody, and this is a pastor, minister. In fact, used to be an instructor. You work at Kenneth Hagin Ministries for quite a few years, I think. And actually a teacher at Rhema. He said, you know, the big thing now is to retire younger and turn it over to the next generation. You know, and let our children take over, you know, and people that we raised up. I said, brother, I said, if I hear you say that out of your mouth one more time, I said, I'm going to scatter parts all around this place and repent later. I said, you just made enough mistakes to find out what's right and wrong.
That's right.
I said, you just got it wrong so many times and you flubbed up so many times, you just found out what not to do.
Yeah.
And you're going to turn it over to some Johnny-come-lately that don't know what to do? I said, I better not hear you. And I said another thing. You claim to follow Brother Hagin. Did he retire?
No.
No, he didn't. I said, well, shut up about it. I said it kindly. He didn't retire. He preached up to the last.
Yeah. Amen.
He might have been preaching to Doc Corden that morning. While he was eating his strawberries. Doc Corden trying to talk about catfish. And Dad Hagin trying to get him into heaven, you know. Yeah, no Doc Corden. Good man. But anyway, he's in heaven too. And I began to talk to him. I said, you look back at the old timers. They preached up to the last. Smith Wigglesworth was at church when he went to heaven.
Amen.
Preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Sharing.
Amen.
He didn't retire.
No.
What's wrong with y'all? That's down south talk. If you're in Pennsylvania, Ewens. What's wrong with Ewens? In honor of Steve Milner. What's wrong with Ewens? What are y'all doing? Getting weak? Wanting to quit? Wanting to throw in the towel? Brother Scott, it's not finished yet.
No.
We got to get up and do the work of the gospel.
Yeah.
God doesn't want us retiring. He wants us refiring.
Amen.
But if you get that gospel of mentality in your mind that I got to quit and turn it over to somebody else, somebody needs to kick you in the rear end. They do. Jesus preached till they took him out of here. They're going to have to drag me out kicking and screaming. I'm going to preach.
Hey.
I'm not going to quit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn it over.
Amen.
I'm going to run my race.
Amen.
I'm going to accomplish what God called me to accomplish.
Yes.
Brother Summerall run his race.
Yes.
He didn't turn it over to nobody.
Right.
He had sons. Don't make me come back there. He knew they was goofed up. Excuse me, sons. I've talked to his grandson. He's the one that said it. I'm just talking to his grandson. Lester. He's got a grandson named Lester. That boy is bold as a lion. You know, I'm telling you. He just tells the truth. He'll scatter parts. He's like his granddaddy. He'll just scatter parts everywhere. And sometimes he opens his mouth, puts his foot in it. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you. His granddaddy was that way. But he didn't retire. If you're looking for a retirement plan, go sell doggone insurance and cars. Get out of this gospel. Get out of here. I'm nice. Well, it's too hard. The road is tough. Well, get out of here. Just quit. Go on to the house. Why? Because God told Gideon with his army, get rid of them folks that don't want to fight. He said, if they want to go to the house, go to the house. He said, if they're scared, send them home. I ain't scared. And I'm not going to quit. I'm going to stand and I'm going to preach the gospel with every bit of the breath that's in me. And as long as my body functions, I'm going to preach the gospel. And I'm not going to retire. And you're not either. You don't retire from Christianity. God's the only career path, ministry's the only career path that has no retirement plan. What did you pray, Dr. Becker? What did you pray? What did you pray? Yeah, he was praying. He told me last night, you better come, you better bring it. Well, I'm parting his hair this morning. He might even grow some while he's sitting here. Hallelujah. But it's the truth. They got the retirement mentality in the church. Everybody wants to turn it over to somebody else. My God, we need to learn what we know and practice it. Do it.
Amen. Amen.
Let's get up and go.
Yes.
Let's go on with the gospel.
Yes.
I'm not quitting.
Amen.
I'm not giving up. I'm not retiring. Yes. Well, there's no retirement here. My retirement is out of this world. It is. It's not in this world. I'm to be in here influencing the culture of society as long as I'm alive. All of us Christians are. Yes, we train people. We teach people. We run with the other generation. But the other generation's got to run with us. We can't allow another gospel. Some of these folks, I'm telling you, don't make me mad. Some of these folks, I'm telling you. You remember that lady that was on the news that was whooping her son because he was out there writing with a hoodie and his mask on, and she started wailing him. I'm telling you, we need to get loose in the church and start wailing some of these young whippersnappers that's got this hood on and this mask on, preaching another Jesus and another gospel. It's wrong. We need to make them shut up and sit down. Dr. Becker, quit praying. He told me last night, you better bring it today. But I wasn't planning on this. I don't think he was either. But we've got a generation. I'm telling you, it's all throughout the ministry. Can I tell you what I've discovered? I've just lived long enough to watch people that left positions that God put them in. Every person I know that did it died within 3 years. Died within 3 years. I'm talking about credible, anointed ministers of the gospel. The moment they stepped out of the place that God had for them, it opened the door to the devil. Because our protection from God is where He's assigned us to stand. And as long as you're in an assigned place, the devil cannot take you out. But when you step out of your assignment, where God has called you, out of your calling, then you open the door to the devil. You can't get the idea, we'll let somebody else take it now. No, we'll let them run with us, but won't let nobody take your calling.
Amen.
You can't give your calling to somebody else. You can't turn your ministry over to somebody else. Because the only person that can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't call people into ministry. And in fact, don't make me mad. Listen, don't make me mad. But there's a lot of people out there in ministry today that's no more called than I'm Donald Luck. And I know that's questionable sometimes. Somebody called them. Their mama called them. Their daddy called them. Or because their daddy was a preacher or somebody was a preacher, then you got to be a preacher. No, you're not a preacher unless God calls you to be a preacher.
That's right.
Whew. What's wrong with you? I mean, I'm telling you. But it's the truth. There's not another Jesus. There's not another gospel. And somebody needs to stand up and tell the church world the truth. And we are. Said, Brother Randy, you doing it? Yes, I'm yelling and screaming across the United States. I don't always get as stirred up as this, but I tell you, up in Gatlinburg, I'm telling you, don't listen to those. Those are X-rated materials. Oh, you remember that up there? I'm telling you, I stepped out there and tiptoed through the tulips. Tiny Tim had to get out of my way. I'm telling you the truth. The anointing of God, and I mean, we got on everything from dressing. Woo! Oh, I mean, oh my God, we just skin them up one side down the other. Woo! I say, the Holy Ghost, because people need to be told what to do today. Told what's in an old time Pentecost, that's all they had was what they call a clothesline message. But a lot of people would get saved because they'd scare the devil out of them. But at the same time, we've gone to the extreme with another Jesus, with another gospel, like he don't care about those things, and he does. But I don't know how you got me into that. We just turned the Bible to Colossians 3, and then you got me talking about that. We're not trying to quit. We're staying in the race and not giving up. That's what we need to develop, the mentality. I'm in this for the long haul. Now, that doesn't mean that in your years as you grow and develop, there's a balance in it. As you grow and develop, that don't mean that you can't bring those alongside that you train to help you, that's preaching the truth, so you can rest a little bit more. You know what I mean? Dad Hagin, if you remember, in some of his meetings in his latter days, he would actually have somebody else speak in his own meetings because he just flat needed to rest because of his age. You know, he couldn't carry it all the time. And so he would have trained up other people. And that's okay. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you can't take a vacation. But the problem today is this. People want to live on a continual vacation. And they think that's what life is all about. They think that's what ministry is all about. They think that you're never going to have a problem. You're never going to have a test. You're never going to have a trial. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, not chair. I have overcome the world. Isn't that right? So, is there guidelines for the Christian life? Remember, that's how you got me into all this. Yes, there's guidelines. Guidelines in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. This is written to the born-again Christian. It's not talking about the unsaved. It's not talking about those on their way to hell. It's not talking to the heathen. It's talking to the born-again Christian. Are there laws? Are there rules? Are there directives? Are there guidelines that the Christian needs to follow in their life? Absolutely. This is what it says. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Just stop right there. If we could just get people to do that, things would be a lot different. Yes. But notice, this verse requires action on my part. It does not denote a passive position. Right. It says that I'm to do something. We're to seek Christ. We're to seek those things which are above. We're to go after those things, right? We are to do it. It denotes action on my part, not a passive position. Christianity is not passive. It's not inaction. It is action. When you get born again, it brings you into another place, and all you want is to communicate with God and live for Him and be a blessing in this lost and dying world. It goes on to give us more directions and instructions. He said, set your affection, which is simply mind, thoughts, attitudes, on things above, not on things on the earth. Is that instructions for the Christian? Yeah. Is it in the Bible? Yes. But remember, the other perverted gospel says that you do nothing because it's already done. It's a bunch of hogwash is all it is. You do something. You do act on the Word of God. You do actively seek Christ and actively walk in the light of God's Word. That's what you're doing. Verse 3, and this is news to most people, maybe to you too. For you are dead. I said, in the name of Jesus, you're dead. I feel alive. Yeah, I know. I feel good. Yeah, I can tell it. Said, but you are dead. Paul is declaring something. We're dead to this world system. We're dead to our desires. We're dead to our wants and needs. We want him. Says, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When you obey these three verses, the latter part of verse 3, I'll guarantee you, your life will be hid with Christ in God. How would you like to be hid in Christ? What does it mean to be hid in Christ? One meaning, I'm not saying the only meaning, is they put old St. John, the Revelator they call him, that wrote the book of Revelations, in a pot of oil and boiled him, and he wouldn't boil. Woo! They were trying to make human soup out of him, but he wouldn't boil. They couldn't kill him. They put him in a hot, scorching bottle, oil on him. Ever, grease ever popped out on you while you was a frying that good southern fried chicken? Popped out, woo! You holler, wee! Step back, you know what I mean? Why? Because it burned. But old brother John the Revelator, he was hid in Christ. And they put him in a pot of oil, tried to boil him, and could not boil him to death, I'm here to tell you. When you're in Christ and you're doing Christ's will, I'm not saying that you're not going to have opposition, but you're going to come out on the other side every single time. Dr. Becker, have you ever been through opposition? Did you come out the other side? He came out. He came out the other side. He slid down the pool. Amen. Slid down the board. Came out the other side. Has anybody been through opposition? But you was hid in Christ and he brought you out the other side. I'm telling you, we've all been there. And Christ was there with us and took us on. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Do you reckon if you don't practice verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3, then verse 4 may not be applicable to you in your life? Just a thought. Verse 5. Mortify, denotes action on the Christian's part. This is not something God has already done for you. It's not something that's past tense. This is present tense Christianity. People want to live a past tense Christianity. It's a perverted gospel. It's another Jesus. No, this is a present tense, right now move that a Christian should take. And I'm normally nice. But he said here, mortify. Mortification simply means put to death. Therefore, present tense gospel, not a past tense. Do you know the perverted gospel of Christ today is what? Past tense. It's already all done. I don't do anything. Christ has done it. That's not true. That's not true. Yes, it's accomplished and finished. Jesus done his work and Jesus done his part, but I got to do my part. There's two sides to everything you receive from God. There's a Godward side, there's a manward side. He said mortify, which means present tense, right now, not past tense, not it's already done. It's something you do presently, in this day, in the church age. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he goes to talk about what some of these things are. Fornication. Nobody shouts about that. Uncleanness. Nobody's shouting about that either. Inordinate affection, nobody shouts about that either. Evil concupiscence, nobody shouts about that. And covetousness, which is idolatry. And that verse, I'll read it in Amplified. So kill, deaden, deprive of power, the evil desire lurking in your members. Now let me say again, present tense. Something we do now, not past tense Christianity. People want a past tense Christianity that I do nothing and just set up here like a fat rat and everything's going to be all right. That's country talk for city folks. You know what I mean? He said kill right now, present tense, not past tense. So kill, dead and deprive of power, the evil desire lurking in your members. those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness. For that is idolatry, the deifying of self and other created things instead of God. Verse 6, I'll just keep reading and amplify it because I don't want you to miss any of it, and I don't either. Want to miss it. It is on the account of these very sins that he's just talking about that the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience, those who are obstinately opposed to the divine will. Do you know you could actually be in church and be opposed to God if you listen to a perverted gospel? Says verse 7, says, among whom you also walked when you were living in and addicted to such practices, implying that we should not be addicted any longer. The addiction should be broken. And if they're not, get them broken. Verse 8 says, but now put away, again, present tense, not past tense. This is not something that Christ has already done for you as a Christian. This is something you got to do yourself. And that's what society today does not want to hear. That's what the majority of the church world does not want to hear. They want a past tense. It's already done. It's already there. I'm already okay. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says, but now put away and rid yourselves completely of all these things. He goes on to talk about some more things. Anger, rage, bad feeling towards others, curses and slander, and foul-mouthed abuse and shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil practices. So you have done it. You do it. And have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self. In other words, he's telling us what to put off. Now he's telling us what to put on. This is something you do. It's not something the Lord has already done for you. It's something you do as a born-again Christian. He's given you the ingredients. He's given you the Spirit of God to help you and assist you, but you still have to do it. It says, and have clothed yourselves with a new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of Him who created this. And we'll just look here in verse 11. I go back to the King James, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, again, he's telling us what to do, present tense, not past tense, not something that's already done. That's what the Holy Ghost is emphasizing. In fact, I've never said this before. I hope you know that. This is what the Holy Ghost said. People today want another Jesus. People today want another gospel. What's that gospel? They want a gospel that is already done, that I don't do anything. But that is not what the Bible teaches. This is just one chapter. There are many chapters just like this in the New Testament. Says verse 12, says, put on therefore as the elect of God. That's something I do presently. It's not something that's already done for me. Something I do. Put on therefore as the elected of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. He's telling me I need to do these things right now. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on, which means presently, which means action on my part, right now as a Christian, put on charity or love, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God, I've got to let the peace of God rule in my heart. To the which I've got to do it. I've got to cast down every thought, every imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and let God's peace reign in my life. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. Be ye thankful when? Right now. Present tense. Not already, it's already done, so I don't have to thank God. No, I need to be thankful right now. And then he says something else that we need to do. And he's talking to who? Born again, tongue talking, Bible believing, devil casting out Christians. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. He said in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice he said teaching and admonishing one another. What does he mean, teaching and admonishing one another? We're to encourage one another that there's things that we need to do. And if we see our brother, our sister slipping in love, we should admonish them and tell them, hey, you're going the wrong way. You've got another gospel. There's a perversion going on here. You don't do it to attack. You do it to protect. Amen. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. We are to look out for one another. We're to pray for one another. We're to watch in the spirit for one another. Because we can, any of us is capable of slipping. Any of us is capable of sliding. Any of us is capable of listening to the new gospel, a perverted gospel, listening to another Jesus that they brought in society because they didn't like the real Jesus. And they didn't like the real gospel, so they have perverted that. And a lot of people have. He said, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17. He said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And we'll just stop right there. But as far as reading this particular passage of Scripture, notice this. These are all instructions, directives, and guidelines given to the born-again Christian. Because it started off, if you then be risen with Christ. Right. That denotes and gives you who he's talking to. We're not taking this out of context. So before you lay it off on the sinner, or we try to lay it off on the sinner, he's not talking to the sinner. He's talking to the saints. Especially the saints that ain't. That's new terminology. Saints that ain't walking in the Bible. In other words, you can be a saint that's not. Saints that ain't walking in the reality of their redemption. And that's what he's encouraging. If you then be risen with Christ, that tells us exactly who he's talking to. He's not talking to the world. He's not talking about somebody that don't know God. And he's not talking about a past tense gospel. He's talking about a present tense right now. This is what you need to do. How about that? It's in the Bible. Now, this is just one place. Don't get me started. Turn to Ephesians. Here we go.
Glory.
Ephesians. Chapter 4. Is that all right? And let's look at some more. This is because, you know, this, you say, well, where's it at in the Bible? You see, if people don't preach it, there's so many other perverted gospels being preached. They dodge all this.
Right.
You don't hear this.
No, no.
You know what I mean? You don't hear this because, and that's our problem
right.
in the body of Christ. I'm not saying that you don't hear this. I'm saying there are people preaching it out there, but there's a lot fewer of us preaching it than there used to be. There's people preaching it. But the main message you hear out there, if you turn on about any kind of thing that you want to listen to, you're not going to hear stuff like this usually.
Right.
Ephesians 4, verse 17. Again, are we looking for directives, instructions, and guidelines for the present Christian life? Mm-hmm. People, again, they want the perverted gospel of past tense. Mm-hmm. It's already done. I don't have to do nothing. All I got to do is, I got it. It don't matter what I do, what I live like, what's going on. I'm already right with God, and so everything's fine. But that's not what the Bible says. This is directions to the Christians. Verse 17 of Ephesians 4, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Again, present tense, right now, Christianity. having the understand darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Do you know, even as a Christian, you can be alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that you have embraced? We want to embrace the truth. He said, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But he's talking here to the Christian. He said, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him. Notice that they didn't learn this. I didn't teach you this. That's what Paul is saying. In other words, somebody else may have a perverted gospel. They may have another gospel, but it's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And again, he's talking to the Christian. He tells them present tense what they need to do. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, which means lifestyle, the old man. Who does that? You do.
Right.
You do. Christ hasn't already done it for you. You do it. Yeah. Christ has done his part, but I've got to do my part. And the society we live in today as a whole does not want a part to play in their salvation. But we all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. The Bible says that. But we have a generation because of perversion of the gospel that people think that it's all done and it doesn't matter what I do, how I live, how I act, how I talk, but that's not what the gospel teaches. He said, you've not so learned Christ. If so be that you have learned him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, that's something we do presently, concerning the former lifestyle, the old man, that's what conversation means, lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That denotes that those things are still trying to hang on to us through our flesh. He also tells us these deceitful lusts, if you go to yielding to those lustful feelings and lustful emotions and start going that way, you can get back off under into sin. Verse 23, and he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, we need to think different than we thought before. We need to think God's word. And then he said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And again, present tense. He told us what to put off in verse 22. He's telling us what to put on in verse number 24. And he says, wherefore, putting away lying. In verse 25, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. This coincides and agrees with Colossians 3. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And he said in verse 27, neither give place to the devil, implying that you can give place to the devil if you choose to. So let him that stole no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I'd do a study on that if I'd you. It may be a lot different than most Christians think. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. If Christians were to practice that verse, things would be a lot different in their life and the lives of those around them. Verse 30 says, and grieve not, which means you can grieve, but he said, grieve not. So it implies you can grieve as a Christian. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve him. How do you grieve him? By not doing what the Bible says. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How many more witnesses do we want in the Bible? That there are directives, there are guidelines, there are present tense truths in the Bible that we must apply. Christ has not done them for us. I said, Christ has not done this for us, neither is he going to do it for us. This is something I must do. But again, the perversion of the gospel is that it's already done. And it's not. Christ done his part, but I must do my part. Paul said so, not me. The Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul said so, not me. Galatians chapter 5. Let me get back there because you got us stirred up, remember? And that's how you got us over here. This is revelation knowledge to me. I don't know about you. In fact, if you want to see the prophetic in operation, you're seeing it right now. This is how it operates. A lot of people think a prophet just prophesies over everybody that may come and may not come. But I've noticed this too. Can I tell you something else I've noticed? I've noticed people that have a prophetic anointing. I just watched it. Lived just long enough. And, you know, I'm going to live a lot longer. Remember, I'm no retired, nothing like that. But I've noticed people that actually had an anointing to be a prophet that gave words to people all the time because they thought that's what they're supposed to do. They all died prematurely. Everyone died prematurely. Yeah. You can die prematurely. That don't mean now that you don't give people words. That don't mean that you don't minister to people. But I see things periodically that I never say to anybody. Never. I was telling Brother Scott some things that I think I saw. But I can't tell them things publicly. And it's not time to share things. Even if I know it affects certain people because they can't hear it. You don't always share things. Paul said to some of the people he was talking to, and that don't mean set me up here on a pedestal. He just said to some of them, he said, you're dull of hearing. And Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You got to have an ear to hear. Isn't that right? So you don't always go around doing that. But this is way the first thing that a prophet's office or any ministry gift will do is preach and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with a prophetic anointing. None of this is pre-planned, pre-ordained. I went up since 6 o'clock this morning praying in the Spirit. And I was trying to put a sermon together in my head. And every time I did, the Spirit of God said, nope. I told you nope. I told you nope. And there's nothing wrong with you studying God's Word because we need to study it. There's nothing wrong with you putting a sermon together because you base it on God's Word. But when you stand where I stand in this place, it's different. You speak more by sudden inspiration in the moment, and sometimes you just flat don't make common sense. But it's the Holy Ghost, amen? Good. Thank God. Where are we at anyway? What did you tell me to turn to? Galatians 5. Yes. So the Holy Ghost is in operation this morning. And he is speaking to us, and he's speaking to the body. Not just us here, you understand that. But we're speaking on a higher level, and things need to be said, and thank God we can deliver it here. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Yes. Remember 13, he said, you've been called to liberty, but don't give occasion to the flesh with your liberty. Remember, we got in verse 14, he talked about the law was fulfilled, and that's how we got to look into other scriptures. Is there a law for the Christian today? Yes! Yes!
Amen.
Yes! Woo! Yes! I just read you some laws.
Right.
Spiritual laws.
Right.
I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. Of course, the Ten Commandments, if you are a Christian, you are fulfilling them.
Right.
Thank you for your enthusiasm. You're getting excited about this. Right?
Yeah.
But the law, there is laws. There are, what I mean by laws, spiritual laws, guidelines that we must apply, and that Jesus hadn't already done it for us. We've got to do it.
Right.
He done his part, but we do our part. So that's how we got to talking about this. We'll just start verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, implying that if you do not walk in the Spirit, which is something that you must do, Jesus is not going to do it for you. God the Father's not going to do it for you. The angels of God are not going to do it for you. The Holy Ghost is not going to do it for you. Angels are not going to do it for you. You can't do it for me, and I can't do it for you.
Right.
Said, walk in the Spirit. That denotes present tense action right now. I can't say, well, Christ has already done it for me. No, I've got to do my part.
Amen.
Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which means if I don't walk in the Spirit, then it's certain that I'm going to fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
How many of us have found that out? I have found it out. You've got to walk with God because Jesus said, the spirit truly indeed is willing, yep, but the flesh is weak. Yep. He told the disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. Yes. For the spirit truly indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Right?
Right? Jesus said that.
Yes.
Notice what he didn't say. He did not say, pray that you will not be tempted. Because you're going to be tempted.
Yeah. Yeah.
But pray so you'll not enter into the temptation when it comes.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes. That's right?
That's what he's talking about.
Yes.
Says verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The Holy Ghost will help you and put you over and help you crucify the flesh, and it cannot dominate you. He said, if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Why? Because the Spirit of God is going to fulfill the law. If you're led of the Spirit of God inside of your spirit, you're going to fulfill the law. That's why you're not under it, you're on top of it. You know what I mean? You're not under it. You're on top of it.
Right.
That's a new doctrine, ain't it?
Good.
You're not under the law. You're on top of the law. You're fulfilling the law.
Right.
It's all being fulfilled because the Spirit of God is going to lead you in line with the laws, yes, of His Word.
Yes.
Now He goes on to talk about the works of the flesh. Now, that gets ugly, I'm telling you. If you have to plug your ears, you can just plug your ears, but it gets ugly in here. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Ladies and gentlemen, these things are filled in society today. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He said, just such like. There's more. Paul, that's enough right there. I mean, Holy Ghost, that's enough. But he said, such things like this. He said, of the which. Now, this is the Holy Ghost speaking to the Apostle Paul. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past. In other words, I've told you before, and I'm telling you again. I've told you before, and I'm telling you again. And what is he going to tell us? That they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he's talking about a present tense action. Christ has already set me free. There's nothing I do. You can't find that in the gospel nowhere. Christ has not already done it all for you. Yes, he died for you. And he got the Holy Ghost in this earth and got it inside of you, but you still got a part to play.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is a present tense gospel, not a past tense gospel.
Yes.
But the world today and most of the church world, many, put it like this, many in the church world want to live a past tense Christianity. It's present tense. This is something you do. Paul said, can I use his words? He said, I die daily. Present tense. He didn't say Christ died for me and it's over. He said, I die daily. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe that's Galatians 2:20, if I'm not mistaken. He said here that they that do such things, present tense, right now. Present tense, right now. Who's he talking to? Hello, I said, who's he talking to? This is an open book test. He's talking to the church. And the reason I share this is you don't need this, but your friends do. Your friends need it. Because there's a lot of people that's living a past tense Christianity. They're not living a present tense gospel. They don't know any better because a lot it's been proclaimed. About any TV thing, preacher you want to turn on, I'm not knocking TV preachers or nothing. But you're going to hear, you know, it's nothing going to be. You're going to hear this. When's the last time you heard that verse? We all dodge it. I dodge it myself. You know what I mean? They that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a verse for Dr. Becker to interpret for us. I'm trying to get him to write a doggone commentary on the Bible. He's about got it done. I said, we're good for that. I mean, he's like a wizard when it comes to that stuff.
Amen.
So we need a good scriptural commentary. And you know, Dr. Becker, he's skinning us alive. You know, he'll tell you going to hell. You look what it says right here. And he's got all them big words, you know. He says them words are big. He sends me words. I have to look them up in the dictionary. My God, what do they mean? And I encourage myself, though. I take knowledge of myself that I've been with Jesus. Amen. I mean, I've been where Dr. Becker's been. He knows all them leather mammonias and stuff. I don't know what he calls them things. But anyway, he knows how to put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's where them folks can understand it. We need somebody to help us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He said, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that what the Bible says? Mm-hmm. And he's writing to who? Christians. How do you know that? How do we know he's not talking to the world? Look at verse 13. For you, brethren. That denotes a group of people that have confessed Jesus Christ is Lord and are born again Christians.
Right.
So that's what he's talking about. That's what this whole passage down through here is talking about.
Right.
And then he goes on, and we like to get to this verse, and this is what we want to practice. Listen, can I just encourage you and give you some revelation knowledge? In fact, I'm going to prophesy to everyone. I'm going to give every one of you a word. You don't have to believe for the works of the flesh to take place in your life. They're going to do it. They're going to be there. So I'm not saying to go around, I claim this. I claim it. It's in the Bible. You're not going to have to believe God for them things. That's a word from God. But what we do need to believe God for is verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is our recreated human spirit, that the Holy Spirit dwells in.
Yes.
He's in us. These things are in us right now. When you're born again, this is what's deposited already, past tense, inside of you. In that sense, yes, past tense, this belongs to me, but presently, I've got to work them out in my life, right? So it's not a past tense gospel. It's past tense that Christ has given them to me, but present tense that I must act on it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're walking in this, you've already fulfilled the law.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Yes.
You fulfilled it. And look at verse 24. This is the present tense gospel in a nutshell. The present tense gospel, not past tense. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have, this denotes doing it now or have already done it, they have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust.
Yeah.
That's something that we do.
Right.
That is Christianity. Paul said, remember, I die daily. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So let's do this. Let's live in the Spirit, and let's walk in the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Let's major on those things. We don't need to major on the works of the flesh or study the works of the flesh. We need to major on the fruit of the recreated
Amen.
Human spirit
Amen.
That's inside of us
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit of God has told us the truth today.
Yeah.
I've learned things. I preached to myself. You thought I was preaching to you, but I was preaching to me. When I was yelling and screaming earlier, standing on my soapbox, as Granny would say, I was talking to me. So there's no condemnation to anybody here. And listen, if we haven't measured up to this totally, thank God we can work towards it. You know what I mean? We can work towards it.
Yeah.
So there's no condemnation.
Yeah.
If you slipped and you tripped, just say, God, I'm getting it right.
Yeah.
I thank you for the Holy
Praise
Ghost because we all.
Praise
Paul
God.
Said, I daily, die daily,
yeah.
which is continuous effort and action on his
right.
part.
Right.
So we all have to deal with issues. We all have to overcome. Said, so how long are you going to do it? Daily? How often? I mean, are you going to have to do it the rest of your life? Yes. As long as you're here. Until you get a glorified body, you're going to have to deal with the flesh. Amen. And I know what you're saying now. Beam me up, Lord. Beam me up, Lord. Beam me up, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. You know, but I'm here to tell you, we're going to walk it out in our life. And we're going to fulfill the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, that perversion of the gospel, another Jesus. Now, there's not truly another Jesus. And there's not truly another gospel. But the church itself, not the world, but the church has tried to bring in another Jesus because they don't like what the first Jesus said. The world has tried to bring, the church has tried to bring in, not the world, but the church has tried to bring in another gospel because they don't like what the first gospel says. In fact, there are those that are absolutely saying that certain chapters and scriptures in the Bible and verses here does not apply to the Christian today. That's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. Every bit of God's word is still applicable to the Christian today, and it applies to me today just like it did to them in the book of Acts. It's applicable to every Christian. So don't allow somebody to change the gospel and say it's already all over and there's nothing you have to do. There's nothing further from the truth because we've seen it here in the Bible, have witnesses from the Bible. There's things that I need to put off and there's things I need to put on. That's what the Bible teaches. Isn't that right? So, well, let's take here about 10 or 15 minutes or so. And let's go before the Lord in prayer and pray about this revelation knowledge and pray about anything the Lord would have us to. But I tell you, I want my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want us all to walk together. I want us all to move together. I want this young generation. I'm not against them. I'm for them. I want the younger generation to come on and let's go together. And I want, as Pastor Harris has taught us, and rightfully so, to pass the baton. But we can't get an agreement unless we agree on the same gospel. We can't change the gospel. We can't pervert the gospel. We can't look for another Jesus because we didn't like what the first Jesus said. We can't look for another gospel because we don't like what the first gospel said. And I'm here to tell you, with preaching and teaching on a continual basis, faith comes by hearing, and every generation will get it. One thing that has hindered the plan of God over the years is there's been failures in passing off the baton in generations. Pastor Harris, I'm sure, has taught us and will teach us. He knows. We lost truths in different generations because the next generation failed to embrace it, or either the past generation lost it themselves. Because Jesus told Dad Hagin in 1987, and had shared with him before, that it would be a move of the Spirit that would be lost to this generation that we're in today, our generation, and your generation. I can just look and tell. We all got a little cotton top here. You know what I mean? And our generation, but there would be a move of the Spirit that would be lost to our generation, us, unless He let them back into it. And the move that God is in today, the final frontier for you Star Trek people, the final frontier that will usher in the second coming of our Lord and Savior is this move of the Word and Spirit. That's what will bring us in. I'm not the only one that saw it. Dad Hagin saw it. Smith Wigglesworth saw it. Brother Summerall saw it. Other people that you would know have saw it. Many women in the Lord have saw it and prophesied about these days. So that's what we're contending for. Amen. So you could sit, kneel, walk, stand, but let's just pray. Amen. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for your holy written word. That's a light into our path. And it's a lamp unto our feet. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're leading us, you're guiding us, and you're directing us. And Lord, you know that there's things that need to be dealt with in the Spirit, Lord, concerning even what you said today. Lord, I know, others may not know, but I know that you were sharing that with me for a specific purpose. And you shared that with us today for this specific purpose and focus. You showed us exactly what the problem in the church world is today. That problem is, is the past tense gospel. That's what the Holy Ghost called it. Past tense Christianity. The past tense gospel, Lord, the past tense Christianity just simply says, it's already done. And there's no responsibility on my part. It requires no effort on my part. I do not have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, but cross Christ has already done it for me. Of course, Lord, you know, and we know, that there is a truth to that. Lord, but that's not the whole truth. That's the partial truth. That's part of the gospel. Lord, the truth about the matter is, yes, you have done your part. Yes, when you hung on the cross, you said, it is finished. Lord, we know those words are applicable to different things. You said it was finished. And we know that your part was done. But there's still a part that we play, Lord, as human beings. There's a part that we play as born-again Christians. Now, Lord, I see, Lord, how this doctrine, a perversion, has come into the body of Christ. This perverted gospel. Lord, they're looking for another Jesus. And Lord, sometimes it seems like that we're overwhelmed by these things. Lord, it seems like, Lord, that because of this, Lord, of past tense things, Lord, that people are getting into error. Lord, and Lord, just give them the benefit of the doubt, Lord, and I do. Lord, I believe maybe that, Lord, they don't really intend to get into this, but it's easy to slip over into that. It's easy to look past chapters in the Bible that give directives and instructions. It's easy just to focus on one side of the gospel and not see the whole balanced truth of your word. Lord, it's easy just to look at what Christ has already done and what you've done for us and how you died on the cross, shed your blood, was buried, rose again the third day, and ascended to your throne. Lord, it's easy for us just to look at that side. Lord, and we need to look at that side. Lord, but the other side is this. Lord, even though you've done that for us, there's things that we must work out in our life. There's things that we need to walk out in our life. Now, Lord, I realize that you did not intend for us to walk this out by ourselves in our own strength, in our own ability. Lord, that's why you sent the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord, that you sent inside of each one of us. And I thank you there's a stirring and awakening, Lord, that will take place, Lord, in the Christian world. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that this false, perverted gospel, this perverted Jesus that's being proclaimed, will be driven out and driven back and put down in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind you foul, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I command you to stop your maneuvers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your hands off the body of Christ in the name of Jesus. You foul, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I command you to loose the people, to loose the ministers, to loose the churches and let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command you to leave the church, leave the body of Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the Spirit of the living God, Lord, that is coming upon the ministers of the gospel and the Christians in your church. And Lord, they're turning back to you. They're moving back towards you in the name of Jesus so there can be a change. Lord, you said in your word that you're coming back for a glorious church, a church that is filled with your glory, a church that is filled with your power, a church that is filled with your anointing in this hour. And Lord, I thank you that you're visiting the church with your glory. You're visiting the church with your power. You're visiting the church with your ability in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that sound doctrine will come forth. Not a perverted gospel, but a balanced gospel. Lord, the truth, the whole truth of God's word, not just part of it. Lord, not just this part, not just that part. Lord, could I realize, Lord, you could get in error just in this other part. You could get into a works mentality and say, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Lord, but there's a balance to it all. And Father, I thank you that the balanced gospel will come to the forefront in the name of Jesus and will be proclaimed across this land. Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus that it will not be perverted, but it will be the truth of your word. Lord, that the whole truth of your word will come forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, I thank you that we will not get out of balance ourselves. Lord, we'll stay right in the middle of the road. We'll not get in the ditch on this side of the gospel or the ditch on that side of the gospel, but we'll be balanced in the middle of the road in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the anointing of God. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the ability of God. And Father, I thank you for the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher to come forward in the name of Jesus Christ in this day. I thank you for it, Father. I glorify you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for the gifts of the Holy Ghost, Father. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, the gift of special faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings, gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Lord, thank you for all these gifts, Lord, to come upon your people and operate throughout the church world. Lord, I pray for every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe, every race of people on planet Earth. And I pray that laborers will be sent across their path, that they may hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and come to know you in the name of Jesus and accept you and embrace you as their Lord and Savior. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for that, Father.